Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and this week I've been talking about an important subject, but a difficult subject. The subject of God's judgments. God's judgments are so present in Scripture. They're clear in the Old Testament, the New Testament. Human history is going to end. The book of Revelation shows us with severe judgments. And there's so much that can be seen about the human heart by just meditating on the book of Revelation and what's being taught there. The main thing, though, this week that I'm talking about regarding judgment is just taking as an example the discernment of in the teaching of a great saint, Saint Bernardine of Siena, born in 1380, died in 1444, was one of the great preachers of his time, was a great Franciscan leader. He was the general superior of the Friars of the Strict Observance. When he began in that position, there were 300 friars. When he died, there was 4,000. He was a man of tremendous impact. And one of the things he did, as I mentioned on Monday, was he took to heart St. Francis of Assisi's direct instruction to the Franciscans about what they're supposed to preach about. He sent them out two by two to preach. And he said, preach about virtue and vice, punishment and glory. Virtue and vice, punishment and glory. This is a good test for us in the church, teachers in the church. Bishops, priests, religious, theologians, and the rest. Do we teach that way? Or do we teach just about virtue and just about glory? Or do we mainly teach about the things in this world and we avoid what you might call the hard sayings and the warnings of Jesus and the apostles? The consequences of what happens when we, in this world even, when we turn away from God, when we put one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom, when we live lives of compromise, when we're caught up in worldly passions and the rest. So taking the teaching of Saint Bernardine just kind of as an example, we can get a sense of how the saints look at the reality of this dimension of what God will do, how far God will go to wake up a rebellious people so that we don't die in our sins. And so we don't keep offending him. Because what he wants is God's judgments, just like his mercies, and you could call God's judgments a severe mercy, these are all expressions of God's love. God acts in whatever needs to have happen in order to remove everything that hinders love so that we live in love. That is the whole purpose for which we were made. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Learning how to love God, learning how to love neighbor, and learning how to love ourselves the right way. We get trapped in the pride of a moment in history like we are now. Friends, so many people are turning from the life of the church. And as people are leaving the church, I mean, certainly there's things in the church that they could look at and say, you know what, look how corrupt the church is. Look how divided the church is. Look what happened here. The church's sins. I no longer want to be associated with it. Well, they're leaving Jesus because of Judas, which is extremely unwise. If you didn't know, if you're in the church and you did not know that the church was made up of weak and broken people, sinful people, just like everybody outside the church, then you missed the point. The church is always, it's saints and sinners it's made up of. It's weeds and wheat. And yes, it is a scandal, but people are walking away, young and old. They're rejecting God's ways in the process. And it's really important for the church to help them as they're walking away to see it clearly. They take offense at the judgments of God, for example. Well, any God that would judge like the God of the Old Testament or the things, the hard sayings Jesus said or the apostles or the saints is just a God that's not worthy of their time and energy. Because why? Because they're holier or more loving somehow than God. Or they're going to make up a God that fits their definition of what love looks like. And that God is just mean and he's unfair. They reject his morality. They're offended by, they find God's morality offensive. His definition of the meaning of human sexuality, his claim on the design that he made of family, male and female, his power and his claim on life and death itself. All these things, modern man in his hubris and pride are rebelling against God and say, we are wiser, more loving, We don't need a God who tells us to do these things. And of course, a God who allows suffering is just forget it. I mean, and there's such a shallowness to it. And you know what? As the culture changes, the culture is what? It's the way of life of a people. And as the way of life of a people is beginning to get defined, a whole different set of values, different gods get exalted, different morality gets exalted, different ways of living get celebrated publicly. When this happens, if people are not living with clear conversion of mind, a renewed mind, and we're worldly, we're attached to the things of this world, our mind is, we're kind of living in the twilight, not living in the light, and our minds, our senseless minds are darkened, as Scripture says, then we see that the momentum of the culture, and either consciously or subconsciously, we say, oh, that's the way to getting ahead in this world. Right now, it's becoming more difficult to stand up for Christ, God, what God has revealed, God's claim, the claim of Jesus the Lord, and the world no longer accepts it. And instead, the world is pressuring the culture, Catholics, Christians in the culture, to conform. And this is a great test. This is part of the judgments that's here, because what the Lord is doing and what he's allowing to have happen is a pressure that's in the culture to surface and force people to make a decision one way or another. I set before you life and death, blessing and a curse. Choose life. What choice are you going to make? Who do you fear? Do you fear God or do you fear man? Do you love yourself more than you love God? Are you dominated by inordinate self-love? And so you're going to protect yourself, your position, your money, your power. Now, you can be wise as a serpent, innocent as a dove. That's what you're supposed to be. But all kinds of pressures coming now in the culture, like, for example, with cancel culture. And people are being forced to say really foolish things. To say, again, as I mentioned Monday, a circle is a square. A boy is a girl is a boy, you name it. And people are not willing to lose the pressure to gain and keep the world and lose the kingdom is here. And people are walking away. And they walk away with a kind of high-mindedness, many people. I'm taking the higher road. My way is more noble and more loving. You cannot walk away from Christ and seriously think you're moving in a more positive direction. That's a great deception. And to walk away from Jesus is absolutely insane. It's foolishness itself. Scripture says God has set his king on Zion, his holy hill. Jesus is Lord of all. He is the judge, as the apostle said. He's the judge of the living and the dead. There's no power anywhere like Christ. And in his mercy, he came and he died on a cross for us. And he revealed the truth about the human race, the sick sin condition of the human heart. He revealed the way to life. He said, I'm the way and the truth in life. He is. He's the truth about humanity. He's the truth about God. He's the truth about our condition. He's the truth about the condition of the world. His reading, friends, of reality is the only one that's fundamentally true. Doesn't matter how much science can discover about matter and how much we can manipulate matter. We have this capacity, friends, because we're made in the image of God. But we can still act out of that image and be totally blind to the fundamental meaning that that image is meant to convey and we're meant to live in, the heart of it. To oppose Jesus is utter foolishness. You know, and this relates to something that is so present in all of this that it's so important for us to see. That one of the things that's being revealed is how much we human beings live with inordinate self-love, and it's expressed also because we're dominated by the fear of men, of powerful people, of being rejected, of being left out, of missing the arc of history, and all the different goofy things that are said about progress, the silliness of the vision of progress as if we're all progressing. Yeah, we're progressing in our discovery of technology, but we're certainly not progressing morally, even though the kings of the earth beat their chests and say, look at how good we are. Look at the wonders we're doing. We're more moral. We're more kind. We're more loving than anybody who's come before us. It's just pride. It's a blinding pride. And often at the core of it is a resistance to God. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fear of men is the beginning of foolishness. The reason there's so much foolishness and compromise in the world that's going on and a madness that's being revealed is because people fear men, and as a result, we're stupid. Fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. It gives us a foundation. A friend of mine sent me a quote from St. Augustine the other day that really was interesting. It's interesting to think about because the evangelization of the church today, which we've been talking about just in depth for years and years now, but so little effective evangelization is going on because all the church ever does is talk about the honey, about the positives, about God's love. A certain dimension of God's love, mercy and accompaniment. This is core. Those things are core, but it's not the whole picture. It doesn't talk about what mercy looks like. For example, it's not uncommon to hear teaching on the story of Jesus and the woman caught in adultery. People use it as an example and to say, Jesus said, let him who was without sin pass the first stone. So he says, look, Jesus said, don't judge this woman, right? Only God can be her judge. Totally agree with that. But the reflections that happen on that story always end before saying the final words that Jesus said. When he looked at the woman, he loved her, right? And what did he say to her? Go and sin no more. He sent the apostles out. He said, this is why you're being sent out, to bring repentance and forgiveness of sins to the whole world. Jesus died on a cross to deal with the sin problem. And it seems very difficult for people in the church today to seem to want to talk about this because they're afraid of men. They're afraid of people being mad at them or rejecting their message or going to a different church. Here's St. Augustine talking to new believers. He said, keeping this love of God before you then as a goal to which you direct all that you say in preparing beginners in the faith, people are going to be teaching beginners. He said, recount every event in your historical exposition in such a way that your listener, by hearing it, may believe, by believing, may hope, and by hoping, may love. He continues, and starting precisely from that very sternness of God, which makes the hearts of mortals quake with a fear that is greatly to their benefit, we must build up love that way. As a people rejoice in the experience of being loved by the one whom they fear, let them have the courage to love him in return, and let them be afraid to prove unworthy of his love for them, even if they could do this without retribution. In fact, it very rarely happens, Augustine said. I can safely say, never, that anyone comes wishing to become a Christian who has not in some way or other been struck by the fear of God. The fear of God is a beautiful thing. It's not just a slavish, terrifying fear, but you know, it can start there, and that's a good thing because we'll get a sense, just a taste of God's holiness and the fierceness of the reality of who God is and the consequences of rejecting him and hell. And that's a good motivation if that's all you got to start with. But eventually, that kind of slavish fear gives way to filial fear, and you start moving in love, but that dimension of a holy fear of God never leaves. The saints had it. Jesus himself had it. That's what we hear in confirmation, right? And he had fear of God, and his delight was in the fear of the Lord, right? So that's something we need now so we can have wisdom to understand our times and to respond accurately. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much-needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.